Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories, where we play tales to take you away from today. New music? Well, not to worry. This tune is by our friend Kevin MacLeod and is here to represent the show content. Today, it's all about the Old West, more specifically, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good will be an excellent episode of Gunsmoke. The bad and the ugly. Well, let's just address that one right now. I say it's time to make fun and have some fun. Normally I would tell you about a new show and say how good it was, or even how amazing. But today, I'm going to represent the other side of old-time radio. While looking for material for this episode, I came across Tennessee Jed. Tennessee Jed broadcast in the late 1940s. It aired Monday through Friday in 15-minute episodes and was considered a Western soap opera. It was sponsored for its entire run by Tip Top Bread, which is still around today. It is Australia's favorite bread for over 50 years. Good on ya, yum. The role of Tennessee Jed Sloan was played by Johnny Thomas, and Sloan's co-star was his faithful horse, Smokey. You're in for a treat if you remember one thing. Don't take any of this seriously, and be sure to laugh at everything. To say that I was amused is like eating my tip-top bread right out of the package with yummy butter. Please enjoy this episode of Tennessee Jed. It is called Tennessee Stops a Wagon, and first aired Christmas Day of 1945. Here's the kicker. It doesn't even have a Christmas theme.
Here he goes, Tennessee! Get him! Got him! Dead center!
Ho-do-dee-ho. That's Jed Sloan, Tennessee Jed, deadliest man with a rifle ever to ride the Western Plains. Brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the bakers of enriched tip-top bread. During the capture of the big black mare as a fitting mate for his great horse, Smokey, Tennessee overhears a nefarious plot to overthrow the United States government by renewing the war between the states. He decides ample reinforcements are needed to avert national disaster and determines to unleash the forces of law and order by enlisting the aid of Sonora's new sheriff, the former six-gun deputy. Accompanied by young Rod Roberts, Tennessee goes to saddle Smokey.
Tennessee, I figure you're heading for Sonora and palaver with the six-gun deputy.
You're forgetting, son. The six-gun deputy is now Sonora's new sheriff, having replaced Mortimer Jackson.
Yeah, but it's going to take quite a spell to get used to calling him anything besides deputy.
Well, no matter what we calls him, I figure it's high time he's wised up on this here plan of starting war between the states all over again.
You know, Tennessee, more you think about it, more likely it seems them no-goods we heard plotting on Dead Man's Plateau can do it.
Does for a fact, son. There's a heap of unrest in Texas these here days.
Yeah, Tennessee. When General Kirby Smith surrendered to federal forces, lots of his Confederate boys figured they should have kept on fighting.
You're naming it straight, son.
But that's all over, Tennessee. Texas is back in the Union. And war between the states is a closed book.
Not to no goods what's hungry for power, son.
What you mean by that, Tennessee?
You see, Rod boy, there's always unrest. If a body wants to stir it up. Even this late, they's enough to make it possible for a bunch of no-goods to start war between the states all over again.
The way you lay it out, Tennessee, it listens like there's a good chance of government in Washington being overthrown. Listen, you can halt it.
And best way, I figure, Rod, is turn the forces of law and order loose against them what's plotting against the United States.
Meaning your first call is going to be on Sonora's new sheriff?
Yeah, son. Because if need be, Sonora's new sheriff can get word straight through to the president. I'd better get Smokey rigged.
Smokey's sure going to cut quite a figure rigged out in that new saddle, Tennessee.
And his rider's going to feel mighty proud of sitting in her, Rod. Easy, Smokey feller. Easy, boy. Won't take you long to get used to your new rigging. There. Oh, look at that, Rod.
I know, Tennessee. Saddle skirt fits Smokey's back so snug, you don't hardly need to use a girth.
Girth? You mean cinch, don't you, Rod?
Well, girth and cinch is same things, Tennessee. Only here in Texas, we usually says girth. Sides light as you ride, they's hardly needed no matter what you calls them.
Anyways, that's quite a saddle, boy. I'm gonna take mighty good care of her.
You just take care of yourself, Tennessee. If and something happens to keep you from reaching the sheriff in Sonora, plot to overthrow the government just might work.
Don't you worry your head about me, Rod boy. I can promise you, I's gonna be mighty cautious till we puts the kibosh on this here plan to start war between the states all over again.
You do that, Tennessee. Because if and anything goes wrong now, United States is a goner.
Get up, Smokey boy.
Goodbye, Tennessee.
Goodbye, Rod. Come on, Smokey feller. Lay him down, boy. Lay him down.
We're heading for Sonora to buck against the fates, because it's up to us to save these United States.
Yes, indeed, the United States is in grave peril, and such a disaster as a revival of the war between the states must be avoided at any cost. We'll pick up Tennessee's trail again in just 1 minute. You know how your mouth starts a-watering when you spy a sweet, juicy apple pie in the oven? Well, the stars on a bread wrapper are a sign of something better in bread. I mean enriched tip-top. For tip-top is baked by a special method that's like the way our grandmothers made bread, to bring you the smoothest, sweetest kind of eating you've ever known. Try it in a sandwich or toast, or eat a slice just plain with butter. That wheaty sweet tip-top bread is more delicious in every way. It's smoother too, remember. So fine-grained, you can spread a slice in just about one motion and toast it to a beautiful all-over golden brown on both sides. Get vitamin-enriched tip-top bread in the Red Star End wrapper today. Astride the fleet, Smokey, Tennessee races toward Sonora and a conference with the sheriff, which he hopes will avert a renewal of the war between the states. But his attention is drawn to a suspicious-looking wagon coming his way.
Up ahead, Smokey feller. There's a heavy-loaded wagon coming this way. Something about them two fellers in it what I don't like at all. Ease up, feller. Whoa, Smokey.
Whoa, boy. Whoa.
Howdy, gents. You got freight for Circle S?
This here look like a freight wagon.
Well, now, wagon is resting kind of heavy on the springs, like is moving a heavy load.
Stranger, you're a young man with a long life ahead of you. Providing you keep your nose out of other folks' business.
Now, just a minute, gents. Cutting across Circle S property is all right, providing the reason for crossing is honest.
Drive on, Pharaoh. We got no time for palavering with this Jasper.
Get up, horse.
Horse, whoa, whoa. I don't like having to cover you gents with my rifle.
Oh, see here, you young whippersnapper. You keep your nose out of what's none of your business. Squint Simpson ain't one to be trifled with.
Howdy, Squint. They calls me Tennessee. I got good reason for asking. How come you're driving a wagon team across Circle S land?
Because it's a shortcut is why. And since when did wagon tracks harm ranch lands, I want to know?
Well, there's no harm from wagon tracks, Squint. Long as what's in the wagon is for honest purposes.
What's in the wagon is my business and none of yourn. Drive on, Pharaoh.
Pharaoh ain't so anxious to follow orders, Squint, with a rifle covering him. There's something all fire peculiar about this, gents. And I aims to find out what.
You got me covered, Tennessee. But I'm warning you. You best put a curb on your curiosity if you expect to die of old age.
Pharaoh, when a feller gets squeamish over passing the time of day, that feller ain't likely to be up to no good. What you got loaded in this here wagon?
You hard of hearing, are you, Tennessee? You've been told for the third time that it's none of your business. And a wise man will let it go at that.
Maybe so, maybe no, Squint. But if and what's under that there tarpaulin is innocent-like, how come you set so much store by keeping her covered?
Because I hate nosy hombres is why, Tennessee. That answer your question?
Sort of, kind of, Squint, but not to my complete satisfaction. Guns and ammunition. Enough for outfitting a small army. In all property, a United States government.
Now you see, Tennessee. You satisfied?
I like a heap of being, Squint. Because I got me a notion these here guns and ammunition was stole from United States government as part of a plan to renew war between the states.
These guns and ammunition, I'm pretty confident, were meant for taking over the U.S. government.
Is Tennessee right? Has he actually uncovered evidence that Squint and Pharaoh are in on a plot to overthrow the United States government by reviving the war between the states? We'll find out in just 60 seconds. Gang, we're asking you today to round up your own loaf of enriched tip-top bread. Compare it point by point with any other and see for yourself if Tip Top isn't today's better bread. It won't take you long. You just get one gander at a slice of Tip Top, and you'll see Tip Top bread is smoother. Mother will say it's like homemade, and that's because every loaf is baked by a special method that's like the way our grandmothers made bread. You spread Tip Top bread better, toast it better, and it's more delicious to eat. Enriched Tip Top bread stars in food value, too. Gives you 3 B vitamins, protein for muscles, and more energy by the ounce than most meats. Look for the stars on the wrapper for Enriched Tip Top bread tonight. Let's see if by discovering the guns and ammunition, Tennessee has nipped in the bud the plot to overthrow the United States government.
You heard, Miss Squint. And you too, Pharaoh. This here guns and ammunition has been stole from the government. What are you doing with them?
That's our business, Tennessee. and none of yourn.
If and these stole guns and ammunition is part of the plan for starting war between the states all over again, gents, I'm making it my business.
Now, just where'd you get such a ridiculous notion, Tennessee?
Is it a ridiculous notion, Farrell? Dalton and Dude Oliver never figured so.
Dalton and Dude Oliver, you said?
Yeah, Squint. The way them two's talking top of Dead Man's Plateau. I figure they's head men in this here plot.
Get him, Farrell! Well, nice work, Farrell, nice work. You know, that Tennessee turned just at the right time for your gun butt to connect just right with his skull.
Yeah, Squint. This here hombre knows too much. Maybe so it'd be a good idea if and he never comes to.
There's plenty of Jaspers like to be in our shoes right now, Farrell.
Yes, Squint. I'll bet there is. Because the easiest way to kill a man like Tennessee is when he's asleep or like he is now, unconscious.
About that, gang. For the first time, Tennessee is unconscious at the mercy of two unprincipled ruffians. This is Layman Cameron, gang, asking you to be sure to listen again tomorrow at this same time to the next exciting chapter in the thrilling adventures of Tennessee Jed. For better sandwiches, let the stars on the wrapper guide you to today's better bread, tip-top bread.
Well, if you didn't learn anything, you did get. The easiest way to kill a man is when he's asleep or unconscious. Very funny. Oh, and the bit about capturing the big black mare as a fitting mate for his horse Smokey? You couldn't make this stuff more cheesy if you tried. I hope you enjoyed that silliness. It was different. Only 18 episodes survived of that program, and very few of them finish a story. Still, it is fun to hear something, and it's my hope that they were going for silly. Now, I'll bet you're on the edge of your seats for this one. Did Jed stop another civil war with the states? Well, history says yes. In the tradition of all Western movies and stories, you have to face the bad before the good can triumph. We just heard a funny but truly bad story. What do you say we fix that now with an excellent tale from Gunsmoke?
Yeah!
Well, okay then. When Gunsmoke first went to television, they took the best of the best radio shows and adapted them to a TV script. One of the first to go was a story about the Kansas Jayhawkers. They were bands of men that were willing to fight, kill, and rob for a variety of motives right after the Civil War. These men caused more trouble than good and often led to full-out skirmishes. Today, the term has softened a bit, and it now refers to someone born, bred, and raised in Kansas. Our OTR story comes from a time when the Jayhawkers were not so nice, and Marshall Dillon is forced to choose between fighting them or helping a cattle herd from Texas make its way to Dodge City. It is called The Jayhawkers and first aired on the CBS Radio Network, April 4th, 1953.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Thank you.
Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mind if I sit here and watch the plaza with you, Mr. Dillon?
Hmm? Oh, sure, sure. Sit down, Chester. Sit down.
I got spring fever, I guess.
Yeah, I guess everybody has.
That'll change soon enough.
It will?
Sure. As soon as the first trail herd hits Dodge.
Yeah, I suppose.
Them Texas cowboys. Mr. Dillon, they all are to be hobbled and have one arm tied behind their back all the time they're hit.
No, I don't know, Chester.
They're just troublemakers, sir. They're bad enough at home, but they're worse away from it.
Well, there are plenty of bad men who never saw Texas.
Yes, and there are darn few Texans who ain't bad.
Where'd you say you're from, Chester?
Well, Waco. But that don't change my opinion one bit, Mr. Dillon. In fact, it just proves I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, here comes a Texan now, Chester. Look at his rig.
Yes, sir, it sure is. Now, what's he doing here?
Yeah, looking for somebody to shoot, according to you. Do you know him?
No, sir, I don't. But then, most everybody I knew in Texas has been hung by now.
I'm looking for the U.S. Marshal. You're wearing the stars, so maybe you're him.
Sit down, stranger.
You Matt Dillon?
That's my name.
All right. I'm Phil Jacks. I'm with a herd of 3,000 San Saba cattle about 5 days' drive from here. The name of the trail boss is Dolph Quince.
Dolph Quince? Well, he was up here last year. Give him my regards, will you?
You give him to him, Marshal.
Well, I'll be glad to. You'll be here in about 5 days, you say?
He will if we don't run into any more trouble. Said for you to ride back with me, Marshal.
No? Well, did he say why?
Well, didn't say nothing except for me to ride into Dodge and find you.
Well, can you tell me what this is all about?
It's about Kansas, Marshal.
Kansas?
We don't like it.
Well, for heaven's sake, if you don't like it, why don't you stay in Texas? Instead of coming up here, raising all kinds of trouble, getting people's backs up, drinking, shooting, carrying on.
I haven't even said hello to you, mister.
Oh, I know it, and let's leave it that way.
Chester, what's got into you, anyway?
It's been mighty peaceful around here lately, sir. Now the first Texas herd ain't even over the horizon, and already there's trouble. Why don't you people drive your old mossy-horned steers to California, anyway?
Why'd you leave Texas, mister?
What?
I know a Texan when I see one. You're all riled up because you don't like Kansas anybody anybody else does.
Yes, and I don't like Texas, neither.
Texas is sure rough on women and dogs, ain't it?
My gracious, I ain't heard that since I was a boy. All right, you got me pegged. I'll shut up.
Now we're getting someplace.
You ready to go, Marshal?
Well, Dolph Quince is a good man. He wouldn't have sent you here without a reason.
Yeah, but Mr. Dillon, you
Chester,
can't go
suppose you take Jax over to the Dodge House for a good feed, huh? Looks like he could use it. I'll get ready and I'll meet you there in about an hour, huh?
Yes, sir, but what about me?
Well, like you say, there won't be any trouble till the Texans arrive. I'd like for you to stay here anyway.
Yes, Mr. Dillon. Come on, Jax. It's just down the street.
Oh, don't shoot him, Chester. I'll never find that herd alone.
I ain't to buy him a drink first, Marshal, and just temper him down a little.
Now, say, that's not a bad idea at all. Take your pick, Mr. Jacks. We have a goodly number of very choice saloons here.
I hadn't been out on the prairie for some weeks, and I found its usual monotony broken a little by the freshness of spring, with great patches of green standing out against the natural sunburnt color of last year's grass. We rode over about 30 miles of it before dark, and Jax figured we'd find the San Saba herd by evening the next day. And sure enough, an hour or two after we'd crossed the Cimarron next afternoon, we spotted the herd's dust ahead of us. We rode up to the chuck wagon just as the cook was hollering for the men to come and get it.
Just drop your saddle anywheres, Marshal. I'll turn your horse in with Remuda.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Jack.
Now, Clint will be over there by the fire somewhere.
Yeah, I'll find him.
All right, Marshal. Come on. Come on.
What's he doing? I don't know. I can't understand it.
Hello, Dolph.
How are you, Marshal? Is fresh meat in camp. Ask the cook for a plate.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I need some more coffee. You like Buffalo Veal? One of the boys roped and shot a calf this morning.
Sure, I like it fine.
Guess it was Buffalo that scared our horses last night. Old Remuda broke loose. Hey, cook, give this man a plate of meat.
Sure thing, Doc.
Yeah, it looks mighty good. You know, Jax and I haven't eaten since morning.
Give me some coffee, will you?
Yep.
Thanks, cook. Nesta woman came to the bed ground before daylight this morning.
Oh?
Yeah, I had a boy with her driving a wagon. Asked if we had any little calves that had been dropped during the night.
Well, she probably picks up calves from all the herds that pass this way, huh?
Yeah, we'd have to get rid of them anyway. So I let her have them. Even if she was a Kansan.
Oh? Where was her husband?
Dead, according to the boy.
Oh, I see.
You know, if it had been a Kansas man asked for calves, I don't think I could have talked these boys into allowing it.
Oh, is that so?
It sure is, Marshal. Say, you got any tobacco? Mine's a mite dry.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Here. Fix yourself a smoke.
Thanks, Marshal.
Tell me, Dolph, have you seen any Kansas jayhawkers on the way up?
How do you know, Marshal?
Well, just a guess.
Two nights ago, some MJ hawkers managed to sneak up on Snyder over there when he was out on guard. They stripped him and flogged him and then stampeded the cattle. We had our hands full for the next few hours, or we might have caught up with him.
I see. Any trouble since?
Not yet.
Dolph? The ordinary Kansan hates jayhawkers as much as you do. They're nothing but shifty, murderous criminals. They got started on the Missouri border during the war, and they got the taste of blood in their mouths, and, well, now it's like they got no place to go.
We can show them a place.
They're bandits, that's all. You got bandits in Texas. That doesn't make every Texan one, does it?
It's kind of hard to make the men see that, Marshal.
Yeah, I know.
I'll join you, if you don't mind.
Sit down, Jack.
Yeah.
I've been complaining to the marshal about our welcome here.
I hear the trail driver's buying off jayhawkers, $2 or $3 a head. Let's see, 3,000 head, that cost us...
I ain't paying nobody nothing.
Well, they ain't asked us yet, but I'll kill the first one I see anyway.
Maybe they won't bother you again, huh?
Marshal, every dollar I got's in these cattle and all the money my relatives and friends could raise, too. We've come a long way from the San Saba, and we're almost to Dodge. I'd hate to lose now.
Well, Dolph, I don't know quite what I can do.
Raise a posse?
No, not for this sort of work. There'll be herds coming up from now into September.
What about the army?
Well, they're out chasing Indians, as usual.
Well... Figured that at task, anyways.
One reason I wanted you to come down here was to ride with us a few days, get to know the boys a little. They're in a bad temper, and When they hit Dodge, you're going to be looking for Kansas scalps.
All right, William.
I figured you would. You see, Marshal, the way we look at it, the good citizens of Dodge are out to fleece us anyway, and on top of that, they hire gunfighters to shoot us as soon as we kick up our heels a little. All in all, it makes for bad feeling.
Well, there's some misunderstanding on both sides, I guess.
Yeah, you and I know that. But they don't.
Oh, say, Dolph, I nearly forgot.
What?
Stranger rode up the remuda over there and asked for a job. I told him to eat first.
Must be crazy. Where is he?
I'll go get him.
Dolph, I'd like to stand guard tonight, huh?
No need for that.
Well, if I'm riding with you, I'll do my share of the work.
All right. You go out with the second watch. The Wrangler will give you a night horse.
Thanks.
Here he is, Dolph. This here's Dolph Quince, trail boss.
Mr. Quince.
Quince will do.
Well, my name's Studer, Carl Studer.
You lost?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, do you know we're only 4 days' drive out of Dodge?
I was wondering if you could use a hand.
For 4 days?
That'd help.
You must be awful hungry.
I thought maybe you'd be driving past Dodge.
Well, I'm not. We'll feed you from here to Dodge if you work. I won't pay you anything, though. I haven't got the money, and I don't need a hand anyway.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, where are you from?
Colorado.
And you ain't a Kansan?
No.
Good. Maybe the boys won't tear you apart. You'll be on the third watch tonight, Studer.
All right.
There's the sort of man spends his whole miserable life just looking for salt pork and sundown.
Yeah. If that's all he's looking for.
What do you mean?
Oh, just an old habit of mine, Dolph. I wouldn't still be alive if I trusted everybody on first sight.
You don't trust this fella?
No, he's probably all right. But still, I'd keep him in camp, unless it's daylight.
How come?
I wouldn't put him on night guard, Dolph.
All right. Marshal, I always thought I led a hard life. Till now, I think you beat me.
Well, I got shot at more than you, that's all.
Maybe that's it. You better stretch out somewhere. You'll be out singing to those cow brutes in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you later, Dolph.
Breakfast at 4. You'll find it don't take long to stay all night at this ranch.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, right now, our country is engaged in an all-out effort to fight aggression and preserve our democratic freedom. The future of America concerns us all. That's why we should all help to make that future as bright as possible. By buying United States savings bonds, you can help make American freedom secure. And at the same time, you'll be automatically saving for your own financial security. Buy an extra bond for your future and Uncle Sam's. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
I didn't have much chance that night to get to know the boys. On guard, two of us rode around the herd in opposite directions, singing or humming a little to let the cattle know where we were. And after 2 hours, we were relieved by the third watch. But at breakfast the next morning, the men treated me a little less like a gunfighter hired to shoot them when they got to Dodge. After the cattle had grazed for a few miles and we got them on the trail, I started to forget I was a lawman myself. Jackson and I were riding the swing of the herd when Dolph Quince loped up behind us.
Hey, how's it feel to be a trail hand, Marshal?
There's nothing to it. And I could sleep all winter like you do.
When would you spend your money?
I already offered to trade jobs with the marshal. Dolph, you know where I found him in Dodge.
Hanging a horse thief, I hope.
Yeah, not likely. Sitting idle in a chair, taking in the sun like an old man.
Don't let it fool you, Jax. I've seen him move. Hey, you two crossed the Cimarron yesterday. What's it like?
Oh, the water's gone down. You won't have any trouble.
I was also thinking about the sand.
It was sound where we was, Doc.
Then we'll cross right there. You go up ahead and ride point, Jack. Lead us to it. Take that new fellow Studer with you.
I don't need him.
I want him up front where I can see him.
Okay. Hit him off.
First crossing I tried last year had a quicksand bottom. It would bog a saddle blank.
Nah. Did you lose many cattle?
30 head. Couldn't even dig their tails out.
You know, Dolph, I sometimes wonder if it's worth it to you, driving cattle up here.
Texas is bankrupt, Marshal. The war broke us. All we got is these wild, long-horn cattle.
Yeah, I know. But maybe there'll be an easier way someday.
We'd starve waiting for the railroad.
I suppose so. Anyway, this San Saba herd of yours is the first to reach Dodge this year. The prices are high. You ought to profit $20 a head.
I hope so. What's Dodge like now? Been a year since I was there.
Well, it's double its size. They got a new restaurant, a place called Delmonico's. Got about 5 new saloons.
Well...
A new barber shop.
With money in your pocket, Dodge could offer high-class entertainment.
Almost anything you want.
The boys will be glad to know.
Hey, that's up ahead. Come on, hurry!
Look, we got a blanket. It's starting to stampede.
Yeah. Is that Jack's horse running loose?
Yeah. There's Jack's lying on the ground. They shot him, Marshal.
Yeah. The man with the blanket, that's Studer. I'm going after him, Dolph. You take care of Jax.
There go the cattle. Head off. Get him, Marshal. Get him alive.
I'll get him. As I followed Studer, a few shots whipped past my head, but they didn't come from him. They came from behind a small rise he was headed for. Whoever was shooting was still too far away from me to worry about. I wanted to take care of Studer first. And slowly the distance between us closed. I pulled my rifle out of the boot and I snapped one off at him. He threw up his hands and pitched forward out of the saddle. I glanced at him as I rode past and crossed him off as one jayhawker less. When I reached the rise, I jumped off my horse and ran up it on foot. Near the top, I got down and I crawled. When I poked my head over, there was only one man in sight. The other jayhawkers, if there had been any, had disappeared. This one was afoot, and he was running for his horse. I took my time and put a shot into the cantle of his saddle. And the horse bolted. And the man dropped behind a rock and lay there. He was only half covered, so I stood up. And a step at a time started toward him down the hill. Down and come forward.
All I want's a horse, and I'll get out of here. We won't bother you no more.
You sure won't.
Just let me on a horse.
Now listen to me. I'm a United States Marshal. You give up, and I promise there'll be no lynching. You'll get a fair trial.
No!
If you don't give up, you're gonna die. Right where you are.
warning you.
I'm coming after you. You just had to try it, didn't you?
You leave a bloody trail, Marshal.
Yeah.
I brought Snyder with me. After the whipping they gave him the other night, I figured he deserved to be in on this.
Guess I'm too late. Looks like the Marshal's done taking care of everybody.
Be glad you don't have to kill a man, son.
I don't think I'd mind, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, Duff, how's Jax?
Dead.
No.
Studer shot him in the back of the head.
He was a good man.
The boys have got the lead cattle turned. We'll let them mill around for an hour and then graze them out.
Good. I left my horse over the rise there, Snyder. Would you get him for me, please?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
Looks like you walked right down onto this man.
I tried to take him alive, like you asked.
Guess I just wanted to hang him myself. Anyway, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Marshal, we'll be burying Jax out here. I'm wondering if you might know how to do it. Maybe a prayer or something?
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I'll try it, though.
Let's get back in.
When we got back to where Jax had fallen, the cook had driven the chuck wagon up and was busy fixing coffee for the men, even though it was far from noon. The cattle were spread out and feeding now. And one by one, the men rode up, sober and quiet. With just a glance at Jax where he lay covered by his saddle blanket. A grave was soon dug, and with the end gate of the chuck wagon for a headstone, Phil Jax was placed in the ground and covered with prairie earth. Their hats in their hands, the Texas men watched in silence.
If you will, Marshal, we're ready now.
Yeah. We brought nothing into this world. Neither may we carry anything out of this world. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Even as it pleaseth the Lord.
Yeah. Even as it pleaseth the Lord, so cometh things to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
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 Oh, Snyder?
Yeah.
I want you to do something for me, if you will.
What?
Well, I smuggled a quart of wagon yard whiskey out of Dodge when I came down here. The cook's got it hid in the chuck wagon.
Well, now, Mark...
It's not much, but it'll cut the alkali in your drinking water. Why don't you get it and pass it out to the men, huh?
Mighty decent of you, Marshal. All us wants a drink of the Marshal's whiskey, get on over to the chuck wagon.
There's times when a drink's good for a man's soul, Marshal. I guess this is one of them.
I think Jax would approve.
He sure would. By the way, Marshal, the boys all know how you handle them Jayhawkers.
No?
It ain't changed their mind about Kansans much, but Maybe they think a little more highly of the law around here. Of the kind of gunfighter hired by the law, anyway.
That's good.
Of course, it don't mean they won't hoorah Dodge a little when we get there.
I expect that.
Sure. Come on. We got a drink coming out of that bottle, too.
Three days later, the San Saba herd reached Mulberry Creek, about 10 miles south of Dodge. And Dolph Quince decided to hold it there until he got it sold. So I said goodbye to the men and rode on into Dodge ahead of them. We'd meet again. In the plaza, at the Texas Trail, at the Alla Ferganza. And I was sure of one thing. Short of gunplay, that particular bunch of Texas cowboys were going to be allowed to hoorah Dodge unmolested.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin and Harry Bartell, with Sam Edwards, Jack Crucian, and Jim Nusser. Parley Bear is Chester. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. America's 45 million radio families listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
Great story. Did you notice that they threw in a few historical facts here and there? That was the writer's, John Meston's, doing. He wanted to make the shows as historically accurate as he could. This is what set Gunsmoke apart from other radio westerns of the time. Also, this is why these programs play so very well today. Truly amazing. The television version was nearly identical to what you heard, with one major exception. Chester did not wait back in Dodge City. He was along for the entire ride. How about that? And now, the news. On this edition of Ron's Amazing Stories, update you on a few things and ask for your help. So, let's get started. To the podcast radio listeners, with all things come change, and that's what's happening to the radio version of the podcast. We have moved from Fridays to Saturday evenings. Now you can listen to Ron's Amazing Stories at 6 p.m. Eastern every Saturday evening. I hope you like the new time slot. We're pretty excited about it here. The Horror Express. The Horror Express has a brand new homepage with its very own contact form. Head to the new page at ronsamazingstories.com/horrorexpress or just Google the Horror Express podcast. Ron needs your help. Okay, I'm thinking about closing the WordPress site. My service provider is not very good and appears to be becoming more unreliable. To step up to a better service could cost me up to $30 per month per site, and I have to support 5 of them. I just can't afford that. Nothing would change for the podcast because it has a separate provider. The WordPress page is not connected to it all, and it really just provides links to all the other services like the podcast player and the blog. What this would mean is that the landing page for Ron's Amazing Stories would all likelihood become Google Plus or Facebook. Also, the URL, ronsamazingstories.com, would continue to work. It just wouldn't go to WordPress anymore. My question to you guys is, would you miss the webpage? Would it affect you in some way? Please tweet me at RASPodcast or email me at ronsamazingstories@gmail.com. I really want to hear from you on this one. I need your help.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So, halo, everybody. Halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finer soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo contains no soap, therefore cannot leave dulling soap film. The first time you use Halo, your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The natural color and luster shine through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and grease, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film, nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
This episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. I also hope you'll take me seriously and send your feedback in about the website. Heck, even if you don't care, that would help me a lot to make this difficult decision. If you want to keep up with what's happening on Ron's Amazing Stories, please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for the weekly newsletter. All the links you'll need and access to the blog can be found at ronsamazingstories.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.
All of the vintage audio used in the podcast is believed to be in the public domain. Ron's Amazing Stories does not own the rights to any of the old-time radio used here. If you hold the rights to any of the shows played, please contact us immediately at ronsamazingstories.com.